I own one of this.
Yeah,
and I don't have much to say about it because I'm utterly an arsehole.
Hi and welcome back to episode 8 of Meat for the Beast. This is a continuation of the Christmas chat I was having with McVeigh the other day. The booze was flowing, it's fair to say, particularly on McVeigh's side of the table. He'd been out all day with his Christmas do, so his tongue gets looser and looser. The slurs increase towards the end, and for some reason I can't say anybody's fucking name right through the whole episode, which is a little bit embarrassing, but I've done minimal edits because I think the shambolic nature of it kind of added to it on this one. So here we go.
Get the sound of McVeigh pouring his drink to celebrate 12 hours of boozing.
Oh shit, sir.
Cheers from the Beast.
Merry Christmas, Beast.
Oh shit, sir. Okay, it's been a good year for comic book films. Or rather, Marvel comic book films, because DC didn't do shit really, did they, this year?
Yeah, we've had jack shit.
In terms of films, anyway.
They stepped up their TV game.
Yeah, big time, yeah.
But yeah, in terms of cinema.
Excuse me.
I don't think we can look any further than Guardians of the Galaxy, which is essentially it's not that, but it's certainly it's been said that.
So would you say that's your comic book film of the year?
Yeah, but also what's interesting is that people have said that it's transcended comic book film.
Yeah,
and that it's like a new Star Wars.
I got that vibe totally. I mean, the poster kind of shoves it down your throat in a good way. I love the poster because it's returned to your kind of illustrated fantastical film poster. It looks sweet.
There's a wicked dude, I think he's called Breadcakes and Comics. You will probably know this, you can edit this out if you want.
No, go for it.
But there's a guy who does, I think it's called Cakes and Comics.
Okay. It's alright, you don't have to look it up.
Well, no, we'll look it up.
Every time you look it up, we spend 4 minutes dithering.
No, but he's done a Guardians of the Galaxy poster in the style of the very first Star Wars poster.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
And it's mint as fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
It's excellent. And I think that there's a reason that exists because it resonated.
Yeah.
And it's like, Guardians of the Galaxy was fucking arguably the best blockbuster movie of the year. I haven't seen Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, whatever that was. I'm sure it's ace.
I didn't see it either. Yeah, I didn't like it. I've not seen it, so I can't judge it, but the trailer wasn't selling either of those films to me.
But I love the first one. I just didn't get a chance to go to see the second one at the cinema. That was fine.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. So I'm not going to judge it till I've seen it. But for me, I liked the fact Guardians had. It felt like CG's reached a new level, because I can't honestly say like your Tim Henson style character, say like Rocket Raccoon and Groot would have been Tim Henson characters. I can't honestly say it would have been better. You know what I mean?
Who's Tim Henson?
Sorry, Jim Henson.
Jim Henson.
We're both pissed now.
Tim Henson.
Because, for me, prequel Yoda was shit. I didn't like it.
Prequel Yoda was shit as fuck.
It was just a bit lame. But it was kind of the first time I would ever say, I'm glad I saw two CG guys rather than two puppets. And they had way more character than I think a puppet could pull off. Although I might be talking out my arse, but
no, I think you're right.
It was done very, very well, and it was the right combo of sort of character meets digital excellence and creativity.
I think you've got to give a lot of credit to Peter Jackson for what he did with
Gollum. Gollum was a step on the ladder, definitely. Oh. Yeah.
I liked I thought the Lord of the Rings films were alright, but it wasn't until The Hobbit, the first Hobbit, that I actually saw Gollum as an actual believable character.
Right, right.
And there was something about seeing that I thought, that's fucking mint.
I heard 20% of the audience just turn off, by the way.
I don't care.
I'm down with Gollum. I don't mind Gollum.
But have you seen The Hobbit?
I've been sitting it. I actually thought I'd wait till all three are out and then watch it as a film, which is crazy, really. But
that's it. That is insane.
That was my long-term game plan.
What I did was watch The Hobbit by accident because I didn't give a fuck, and I was hungover. And I thought I'll watch The Hobbit. But what was surprising was that it was a lot less pious and a lot less serious than the Lord of the Rings films.
That sounds good.
And it's fine. Throw a ring in a fucking lava.
It's quite bloated, isn't it?
It's absolutely flabby as fuck.
I can't. I don't know the source material.
What?
Because I'm a comic man.
Me neither. And I don't care. I'm quite happy to
I'm wary of judging on that.
Just like my appreciation of Marvel films, I'm happy to just.
Oh, that stinks, by the way.
What does?
Dirty bastard.
What?
That fart you've just done.
I have not farted.
Must have been mine lingering.
Maybe it's your bad breath, motherfucker. However, there's something about the Hobbit films that has an actual element of fun. There's no fun to be had in Lord of the Rings. It's all serious business. It's, we've got to get rid of this ring. But the Hobbit films feels like a romp. Feels like an adventure. And when you've got Sylvester McCoy rocking up as this drugged up fucking wizard, bird shit down his face, full of mushrooms. He's like, I've got these superpowered rabbits, motherfucker, and I can get where I need to be. When you inject an element of fun into the Hobbitverse, it becomes actually enjoyable.
Yeah.
And I had a day off sick, and I watched The Hobbit, the first one, whatever it's called, whatever, and then the second one, Desolation of Smaug, which I'm pretty sure, in fact, like the word Smaug.
Right.
I want to say smog.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know about you. I want to say smog.
I would have said smog, but go on.
But apparently it's called smaug.
Okay.
Anyway, so I watched the second one as well. I double billed them. I was off sick, so I was like, I got a fucking all day to kill.
Oh, yeah, so every day for you, isn't it? Public sector man.
I don't like it, public sector. Shh. But I was off sick, and I thought, I'm going to double bill these hobbits. And I watched the Hobbit first one, and I was like, yeah, this is brilliant. Second one. It's an awesome. It's entertaining shit, and Sylvester McCoy comes back, and it's just awesome because, for me, The Hobbit is just one book, whereas Lord of the Rings is an epic trilogy. I understand why they made an epic trilogy of epic films.
Strange decision
that
to make
9 years long.
Strange decision to make three films out of one book. Actually, that was kind of what put me off a bit. But I've not actually read the book. I started reading it, and then the films came out. And for some reason, I'm just fucking busy all the time, and I didn't never finished it. But I'm going to finish it before I watch them.
I read the Hobbit book because Lord of the Rings was coming out, and I thought I'll read the Hobbit, and then so I know where I'm coming from. I read the Hobbit, and it took me fucking ages. It was a hard read. There's something about me. I'm old literature that I can't get on with. It takes me fucking ages to get through. And I read the Hobbit, and I was like, oh, that was interesting. I can see how you can drag three films out of it. And when they did it, I'm quite happy with it because it's far more entertaining, it's far more fun than the original Lord of the Rings trilogy. Martin Freeman is excellent.
Yeah.
Sylvester McCoy, there's a bit where I think Peter Jackson got shit for throwing stuff in that wasn't in the book. Right. There's a sequence in the first one where Gandalf's at the elf house, whatever, and he's hanging out with Galadriel and Smith from Matrix, and Saruman rocks up, and Saruman's like, "Oh, that guy, that Sylvester McCoy motherfucker. I don't care for him." And Gandalf's like, "Why?" It's like, "Oh, he eats too many mushrooms." I was like, "That's insane! You shouldn't be having a reference to some dude who's living in the woods, caning the mushrooms."
Yeah,
and they did it, and I thought that was nice, and it's. Bottom line is, the Hobbit trilogy seems to be a lot more fun than the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
It's good to know. It's good to hear Sylvester McCoy's out there again because, for me, his Doctor Who is really enjoyable.
That was my introduction to Doctor Who.
Really, right? Yeah.
And I've got no beef because that was my first frame of reference for Doctor Who.
Well, when I was really, really young, they were repeating Tom Pertwee, who's still my favourite.
Do you mean John Pertwee?
What the fuck? Booze
Tom Pertwee.
The booze has fucked me. I've combined two doctors into one. I'll leave that in. I'll leave that in for your amusement. So yeah.
Yes.
Laughing up for more. Can't even speak. Because when Sylvester McCoy got cast, he was in this shitty science program on BBC One. It was like, ooh, called Eureka. Ooh,
I remember that. Ooh, yeah.
Let's discover some science.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't give a fuck about science. I just want to watch Ulysses fucking pull his lightsaber out and carve someone up at that age. And so I was like, oh, fuck this. What's he done that for? And he was very. He had a very comedy character in that series.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, he's Doctor Who? What the fuck? And but after a few episodes, he really got into the character, and he's the only Doctor Who figure I've got. I'm still in my studio at home.
Really?
I've got the McCoy TARDIS. McCoy's in there with K-9, even though the K-9 never even fucking showed up in his particular...
Was he the only one he had a brolly with a question mark, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. He did, yeah. And he had question marks on a tank top, which I reckon... If any man could pull off, it's McVeigh.
I'll give it a go. I love fucking Sylvester McCoy. He was excellent. And
yeah, and he did good work in Doctor Who.
And given all the bad rep that he got for Doctor Who, to see him rock up in the multi-billion-dollar franchise that is The Hobbit as a stoned-out dude with bird shit down his face, riding a fucking sledge that's powered by super-powered fucking hares or rabbits, just zipping about the landscape, that's fucking insane to me.
I'm gonna get a bitch on now, because the same people who were telling me McCoy was shit as Doctor Who, they're telling me an old man in a dog kennel, David fucking Tennant in old man makeup in a dog kennel, was supposed to be the apex of Doctor Who. If that's their
take on
it,
no, he's not the apex of
Doctor
Who.
Then
Christopher
fucking
Eccleston with his leather jacket and dishing a Salford accent is the apex of Doctor Who, motherfucker. No, what are you doing? Come with me.
Yeah, I went
motherfucker.
Recently, me and my friend Jez went to Salford Lads Club. Walked there from Oxford Road Station.
Don't walk there.
Yeah, we walked there. We kept it real. And if anyone comes from there, becomes Doctor Who, they're all right by me, basically. Them Daleks ain't going to fuck with you.
They haven't got any choice, I guess.
So, big up Eccleston.
Yeah, fucking love it, Eccleston. Eccleston's mint. This festive broadcast is not really that festive, is it? We're just talking about shit we've enjoyed.
Well, we've said comic book film, and I suppose I was debating whether Captain America 2 was a comic book film of the year, because I think that's probably the one I would watch more regularly, because I really enjoyed it. And from a violence, we both appreciate a bit of violence, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
In terms of violence, what a great fucking comic book film.
That was a very surprising movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know what to make of it, and it surpassed the original, and I was like, this is changing the game. And also, I think...
Who would have thought Captain America 2 would be a really fucking good film?
I know.
Because the first one was okay, but I probably only saw it because it was shot partly in Manchester.
Me too.
You know what I mean?
Having run around the set.
Yeah.
Oh shit! They turned Dale Street into fucking Brooklyn.
Yeah, there was still some evidence of, like, there was some 1930s or 40s looking posters on back streets and stuff, which is great. And I remember I had a beer down there with a mate one night, and the shooting was going on at the time. It was dead exciting. It's like, yeah, Hollywood.
The set was open, wasn't it? It was like closed during the day, but at night you could walk down the streets and you could look at the fake posters and stuff.
I think logistically, the odd fuckwit puking on the set was going to be way cheaper than hiring New York.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's a crazy thing.
And a friend of a friend was saying he walked past it when it was going on, and he had no idea what was going on, and he saw a poster saying there will be flashes and the sound of simulated gunshots. And as he read this poster, he saw flashes and heard simulated gunshots. But yeah, Captain America 2 came out of nowhere. Really.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I didn't know what to expect, and I didn't expect that.
Excellent.
It was excellent.
Excellent comic book flick. And but also the X-Men film this year.
X-Men was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
Oh Jesus! It was McVeigh's letting it rip today.
Oh no, it's quite evident from the way we're talking that it's not me.
But
I don't pass gas in that manner.
I don't think I've seen a shit comic book film this year. Can you think of it? Oh, Spider-Man 2. Well, supposedly Spider-Man 2.
I didn't watch it.
It was... I'll credit Jamie Foxx, isn't it? Yeah,
Jamie Foxx is Electro. Yeah.
Jamie Foxx gave that his all. That was obvious. And
Was Rhinoceros just utterly wasted?
Yeah, Paul
Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti stole the show for the 5 minutes he was in it.
5 minutes?
Yeah, literally.
I remember seeing pictures of him with a fucking massive fake stuff on his arms.
He made the poster and then wasn't really in it.
Because his suit looked mint. His suit looked good.
It did, and he was great, but he's basically not in it. And then.
What about Dane DeHaan as.
The guy from Chronicle.
Yeah, Chronicle was wicked.
Basically,
is he essentially playing the same dude?
All right, let me give you my critique on Spider-Man 2. This is going to be my comic book low of the year, film-wise. Jamie Foxx plays it really fucking well, but the look of his character looks pretty bad. It just doesn't work for his face. It just looks all wrong. It's kind of like just made him glow, and that's what Electro does. But they just did it in a really shit way, I think.
Okay.
And Spidey spends the whole film moping around like a dickhead, which was the thing I liked about the last one, because they got away from all that. The guy from Chronicle, what's his name again?
He's called Dane DeHaan. He was also in Lawless with Shia LaBeouf.
He shows up as Green Goblin looking like Peter Pan. Literally, he looks like Peter Pan.
Is that not a better Green Goblin than the
one? No, if you watch
Willem Dafoe Green Goblin is dog shit, because
you watch the new Spidey, you'll be crying out for Willem Dafoe,
really?
In a fucking mask. I swear, yeah, I maybe not, but it's fucking awful.
Okay.
And it comes out of nowhere as well. It's like tagged on the end.
Suddenly
Peter Pan shows up.
Just like in the shitness that was Spider-Man 3.
I'd rather watch Spider-Man 3 again.
Fucking hell.
Any day. Jesus. Yeah, it was way better.
Sounds awful.
What they did to Venom was like a walk in the park compared to Green Goblin.
I've got no beef what they did to Venom.
Yeah.
It's what they did to Green Goblin 2 with his fucking floating board business.
Yeah.
Is that guy a better Green Goblin than the Green Goblin in the new one?
Probably on a par, but he's in it more.
Ooh.
But basically, it's basically Electro. It's mainly Electro,
okay.
Who isn't that bad. Jamie Foxx is a good actor.
Jamie Foxx is mint because he's in Miami. Nice motherfucker.
Yeah, he's
Jamie Foxx knows what to do.
Jamie Foxx is a cool actor. He can do characters. All that went wrong is they made him look like a twat, quite frankly.
Jesus.
But not everyone thinks that. That's just my opinion. I don't claim to be a
mock expert. To be fair, from what I've heard about this amazing Spider-Man 2 is that it's nothing but dog shit. The best review I heard was that it was made by people who don't understand how electricity works.
Right, okay. the thing with Electro, because classic Electro is basically a guy with lightning bolts on his face, like wears a mask,
green spandex,
which wouldn't have worked, yeah. To be fair, yeah. So they went with the ultimate version of Electro, which is basically a man made of kind of light.
Yeah. Aesthetically, that looks ace.
General film of the year. What would be your general film of the year? It doesn't have to be anything comic related. Tough one.
I've got two. I'm going to go with either The Guest or What We Do in the Shadows. One's a John C. genre piece. One's a comedy. The Guest was ace, and we've had banter with good old Martin on Facebook about this.
All right, yeah.
He watched The Guest after we recommended it, or after I did. But I'm standing by it. It's fucking mint.
Yeah, you gave it. What was it you described it as? Terminator meets
Roadhouse.
Yeah, yeah.
Which That's is big talk, and then big I talk. Credited that to Rob Nevitt, friend of the show.
Okay. Yeah.
Kingpin of Cellular Screams, who hooks us up with some fat cinema tickets for the festival.
Cool.
But the guest is mint, and I can't think of a film that has not bothered me, but
impacted
stuck
you.
In my head much this year. Transformers 4, I spent a lot of time with. I'll tell you about Transformers 4, right? What's curious?
So he's saying, are you going to give it the accolade?
What accolade?
General film of the year. What are you pissing around at? Go on.
The problem is, the guest nobody saw because it got a fucking time to release. Transformers 4 is the biggest film of the year. It's the only film this year that made a billion.
Yeah. That is quite an accolade, to be fair.
Exactly. And I've watched it 3 times now. I watched it twice at the cinema. I watched it in Sheffield's bullshit IMAX. So fuck you, Sheffield IMAX. That's not an IMAX fucking theatre. If I want to see an IMAX, I will go to Bradford or Manchester.
You're hitting on poor Sheff again, you know?
No, that's a fucking IMAX, man. I'm not dissing Sheffield. I'll diss Sheffield on things that they're actually good at that I don't like. But this is a thing that they think they're good at, but it's actually shit. Sheffield's IMAX is bullshit. If you are in Sheffield and you are listening to this, never, ever go to their IMAX cinema because it's not a fucking IMAX. Go to Manchester, go to Bradford. That's a fact. That's a science fact. Unimpeachable, unimprovable. That's a fucking fact. I watched Transformers 4 in that and it was dog shit. But also, I watched it normally and it was like equally dog shit. But then I watched it when I was hungover, and I was so hungover that I think I was still drunk. And I watched it, and it made perfect sense to me. I was sat there on my couch, necking Dr. Pepper and Cherry Coke, and I was like, yeah, this is fucking brilliant. But it's not. But it is at the same time.
Yeah.
Do you know
what
I mean?
Yeah, well, I've not seen it yet. I'm going to rent it because I'm going to rent it one night.
Fucking rent it.
No, I rent. I don't screw creatives over. I rent or I buy. That's it for me.
Well, I just buy. The Tuesday that came out, I bought it from Tesco.
Oh shit!
It's in there on the shelf, motherfucker. And I plowed through the extras because I was familiar with the film. I watched all the 3 hours of extras in one night. I'm like,
it's
fucking brilliant. And it made me reappraise it. So when I'm hungover, I'm like, I know what, I've already watched the extras, I know the thought and the craft that's gone into it. I'm watching it and I'm steaming it. I think I'm still pissed. I'm like, yeah, this is dog shit. This is fucking actually atrocious shit. Erin Kruger, you're a terrible writer. Stop it. But this is an amazing film. And it didn't change my enjoyment. And it actually, I enjoyed it the most when I was sat on my couch hungover.
Okay, that's good to
marginally
know.
Pissed.
Yeah.
So, film of the year, Transformers 4, Michael Bay.
Fucking
respect,
A. If you would have come up with anything else, I would have been disappointed. Like, speaking of Transformers,
so
my nephew came round with some sort of bug. It was last week. And he brought around this DVD that was Transformers Prime, some CG cartoon that was really enjoyable. We watched about 2 hours of it. And he sat there silently, but told me occasional bits of who's who and that kind of thing. And then I let him open our advent calendar. He did 2 days on the advent calendar and had the chocolates.
That's very festive.
And apparently he was pretty chuffed with that.
Dude, Transformers Prime is fucking sound.
My nephew's man a few words, but he's only about 7. But afterwards, apparently he was very happy about what happened that day. And I was certainly the same, because it was a great cartoon.
Can we talk about Transformers Prime? Oh, well,
It's
a fine show. It lasted 3 seasons. It culminated in Transformers Prime Beast Hunters. But it's got it's got in the first episode, the first episode was actually a like 3 episodes strung together as a movie.
It had
the Rock was in it as Cliffjumper.
Yeah.
And even the entire show itself has Jeffrey Combs as Ratchet. Jeffrey Combs, genre fans will know who he is, but that's fucking Reanimator, man.
Oh shit, right.
He's Ratchet. Yeah. For the entire 3 years that show ran, he was there complaining, like a crotchety old man complaining about little humans. He was there as Ratchet, and I was like, that's fucking Jeffrey Combs, man. And I think there's a lot of respect for voice actors that people don't even know about. Yeah. And Transformers Prime was a fucking strong show, man.
It sounded like the actual Prime guy as well. It was the same guy, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. In Transformers Prime, in every cartoon that has been since... Peter Cullen was the original Prime. And then he came back for the movie.
Yeah.
And every iteration of Prime since then has always been Peter Cullen.
He's like that animated series guy, isn't he? What's his name? The guy I was slagging off.
Kevin Conroy?
Yeah, he's the Kevin Conroy of Transformers.
He is yeah. Totally, yeah.
But actually... nails the character.
Yeah.
I got some shit for that.
Kevin Conroy is Batman and Peter Cullen is Optimus Prime.
I took some real shit for my Kevin Conroy attack, so
disrespect.
I'm going to take it on the chin because obviously I had it coming, to be fair.
Don't disrespect Kevin Conroy and certainly don't say a fucking bad word against Peter Cullen.
Yeah. Film of the year for me, Raid 2. Which I don't think you saw yet.
I've not seen it yet, man.
And I'm getting it for Christmas.
Ooh.
So you're going to see it soon, motherfucker.
Special viewing.
Yeah. Anyone unfamiliar with The Raid, it's the original's basically...
Judge Dredd.
It's basically Judge Dredd without the guns, filmed in Indonesia. Sequel's a whole different kettle of fish. It's... comes close to being a comic book film, to be fair.
I know
it's
nothing about it apart from the hammer chick who's not even in it from what I saw.
It's,
is that a special scene? What's got the hammer chick on the fucking train, man?
Well, the highlight is there's a character in it called Hammer Girl who I've got to credit with some of the greatest violence I've ever seen on the big screen.
Wow.
quite easily. She's ace, and she's hardly in it, but when she's on screen, she shines, and people are begging for a Hammer Girl film now. And the director, he said no, because on her own it's not going to work, but just now and again she's ace. He said it back quite more eloquently than I just did.
You're in Machete Turf there,
aren't you? Yeah, exactly. And then there's another guy with a baseball bat, and he basically hits his... I'm not ruining anything here, it's all in the fucking trailer, but he hits his baseball at you. And if he misses you, he asks for his baseball back. And if you don't give him the baseball back, basically to kill you with his baseball, he's going to take you down in a much more menacing way with the actual bat. it's good. I mean, the story's nothing to... It's not kind of Krzysztof Kieślowski or whatever, you know what I mean? It's not gonna inform you about humanity, but... If you want to see a film that's gonna, help your penis grow a few inches, or make your ovaries a bit more rock and roll, then you could do a lot worse. Raid 2, general film of the year for me.
Nice one, man.
Fucking A. Check if you've not seen it, check it out now. Graphic novel of the year.
I'm not ready to hear this year, so.
Oh, outrageous! Yeah. Anything at all?
No, I've read nothing.
Not even the one I lent you.
Was that this year?
Because I was going to... Mine is one you lent me. It's We Three, which is...
sorry. I didn't realise that it was graphic novel that you read this year.
Yeah. Graphic novel you read this year. That's fair enough, isn't it?
Yeah, shit.
Are we limited to...
No, I'm still...
Yearly restriction.
I'm still shit out of luck. I'm going to jack shit. But yeah, go We Three.
Yeah, it's essentially... What's that film with the two dogs and a cat?
Homeward Bound.
Yeah, it's essentially Homeward Bound through the fucked up sick mind of Grant Morrison and artist Frank Quitely. And they're kind of...
so fucked up.
Three weaponized pets on the rampage.
It's like three episodes stuck together. Three short comics stuck together. And it's... I remember reading it with a hangover and I started crying at the end. It's an astonishing piece of work.
Yeah. And it looks fantastic for a star. Frank Quitely, he's Glasgow based badass.
Quitely is fucking flawless.
In recent years, he's nailed it in terms of comic art badassery.
Yeah, but We Three is about like 6-7 years old, isn't it?
Really?
We Three is not new.
Oh shit, I thought it was like last year or something.
No, it's not, man. We Three is him and Grant Morrison early doors.
Yeah.
Oh guys, if you're listening, We Three is mint as fuck, and it's It broke my day. I remember it ruining a Sunday for me.
It's basically, you know, when you see these sick pictures of animals in test labs under all kinds of fucked up scenarios. It's like those animals given badass technology to kick ass and doing just that.
Yeah, exactly.
For an entire graphic novel.
You got a rabbit, a cat, and a dog who are pimped up to fuck like Robot Jock style.
Yeah.
And isn't like
in quite an unusual way as well, because Frank quietly. I was watching an interview on YouTube where he was saying he likes to get his inspiration from life, so like an unusual bin lorry or something will inspire his creations rather than just looking up some shit in a film or whatever.
Yeah.
Which I quite admire. And also the way that they talk, because the animals can talk in a very basic, almost binary style version of the human language.
Doesn't the rabbit just say, uh-oh?
Yeah.
And he lays some rabbit droppings, which are actually mines. Yeah. And then they explode.
And I don't think we're selling it at all, but
it's bleak as fuck and you won't enjoy reading it, but it is a fucking important read.
So
I've checked it out, man. It's 2005. It's almost 9 years old.
No way.
Yeah,
fuck, we're old.
We are old.
We're past it, but
we're not past it. But
for my 2014 graphic novel of the year is We Three.
Yeah, that's what we're good about, because we've got about 12 people listening to this.
Well, 100 according to fucking Podomatic.
Right.
So
But also,
that's a good that's a score.
If they're listening to it, they're into it. They're into our opinions.
Yeah.
So it's just shit we liked, maybe shit we discovered. And if you discovered it this year, then that's mint.
In fact, speaking of Frank Quitely, right? Go on. If anyone's a Frank Quitely fan, if you're a comic man or woman, he did Missionary Man was his big break in 2000 AD, and then he did a Batman run a few years ago.
Oh, you fucking old Batman!
Batman and Robin.
He was drawing Batman like Dick Grayson as Batman.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was the best Batman ever?
McVeigh's old mate, great circus boy, returned in the cowl.
Love the Grayson.
And. But he still lives in central Glasgow, and he works opposite the Glasgow train station, which I once scaled the roof of on a stag do.
Glasgow is in my mind, Britain's second finest city, and Glasgow is mint. So it doesn't matter that Frank Quitely is living there, keeping it real, because he's living in the fucking place to be.
Yeah, fucking A.
Yeah, shout out to Glasgow.
Yeah. So, album of this year.
Oh, shit.
Not necessarily from this year, because we're both out of touch. Go for it. But you were in touch. You're more in touch with music than I am.
I'm not in touch with music, man. No.
You've bought albums from bands this year.
I spent my year listening to 65 Days of Static. If anyone's ever heard of 65 Days of Static, then good for you.
People have, right? Because I got a train recently and scrounged a fag off someone outside the train station. I was waiting on a link, and he was talking about music, and I said, oh, have you heard of... What he was saying sounded like 65 Days of Static, and I was like, are you into 65 Days of Static? And he was like, fucking right I am. And he looked at me with a new respect when I said their name. And I said, oh yeah. And then I pulled out the old tenuous link, because my friends Tom and Dave, their younger brother is the drummer in the band, Rob. And when I came out with this stuff, he was like, whoa, shit, I fucking love that band. So obviously...
Basically, 65 Days are one of the most important bands in existence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've dished out awesome stuff thus far, and there's a game coming out on the PlayStation next year called No Man's Sky, which is
it's
like a weird procedural kind of it's kind of like a self-generating game the guys who made the game haven't said that this is how the game is you just find your own path and it self-generates it all the while 65 Days have done the soundtrack to it.
It's like, oh my god,
I don't think there's enough blood in my body to fill the boner that is so awesome that is going to be.
The trousers are down.
the trousers down. 65. I don't even have trousers, man. I'm just there. I'm just like one tube. I'm a singular tumescence.
65 days without trousers.
I'm just a singular pulsating.
I watched the trailer you've posted, and it looked like you'd taken those blue cat dickheads out of Avatar, and we're just having a good old wander around fucking Pandora, listening to some cool shit, you know.
Yeah, that's
which
exactly
sounds
what it
great
is,
to me.
And the fact is, I was looking into it, and it's because it's so self-generating. No yeah. one will have the same experience of it.
Really?
So you'll go to a place and you'll be like, hey dude, try going over here. And you're like, oh, well, I found something different. And you can go down to a planet and dick about with some fucking squid animals.
Yeah, yeah.
And your mate's off somewhere else. And it's like, oh, I found some fucking yaks. Nice one, let's hook up. I hope it's, if it can be online, that's fine. But even if it's not, the fact that it exists, and it's all self-generated, and it will take you, apparently there's like a few billion worlds to explore, because it's so self-generating. No one will have the same experience of this game.
That sounds ace.
All the while soundtracked by 65 Days. Which is like insane. I can't believe it.
What I saw, the trailer looked a bit like a dream I once had, where I went through this weird portal and I was suddenly in a world filled with breathable liquid, a bit like you know, like the abyss or something,
yeah,
like, but
abyss.
It's but not like water liquid, like a kind of thick jelly like liquid, where I was, my movements were restricted and it was all a bit fucked. And it was actually quite a scary dream, but in a nice way. And I was wandering around this weird, bizarre landscape where everything was liquid and I couldn't escape.
Yeah. That does sound a bit scary.
But if
this game isn't believed, it will be awesome.
Fucking hell.
I'm very excited.
So I reckon, we talked about, like, off air, we talked about getting interviews, and, you know, we've both got tenuous links to the band. I reckon you should sort that out at some point, get us a 65 interview.
Well, the game's out in...
Because you've studied with one of them or two of them?
Paul is Polinski. He's from Mosley. Good lad.
Really? Right. Yeah. He's Northwest man.
Yeah.
Wrong side of the fucking Pennines. Oh.
I can.
Where I currently live.
The good side of the Pennines. Yeah, I can narrow him down. I'm pretty confident that we can get No Man's Sky. Blah blah.
We should do it. Like we need to inject some class into this podcast, I reckon.
So speaking of 65 Days, who are one of the best bands in the universe, a couple of years back they did a live rescore for Silent Running, which is it's a nice enough sci-fi film about the, essentially there's like the three remaining forests that were on Earth, and they're living on spaceships, and Bruce Dern is essentially a crackers Greenpeace dude, like the kind of guy that tramples Incan ruins, you know what I mean, that kind of psycho. But basically he's fucking furious.
Incan ruins that looked shit anyway, to be fair.
What it needed was a nice banner.
How did they even no article actually specifies what they did.
It was unnecessary,
that banner, anyway.
That's by the by. The point is,
whatever.
The point is,
I think saving the Earth kind of perhaps makes up for that a bit.
The point is, Bruce Dern tried to save the world, and he would rather not be plagued by a soundtrack of Joan Baez. And 65 Days, awesome guys that they are, provided their own soundtrack a couple of years back for a Sensoria project here in Sheffield,
which was great. I gave it a good spin.
Oh, it was mint as fuck.
Yeah.
And then they had a big whole thing about it. But anyway, it was a good sci-fi film that was made better by their soundtrack. And here is a track from said soundtrack.
Okay, so I've not done my album of the year yet.
So what's been fueling your boots, man?
I'm a bit out of touch. I've been listening to a band called Goddamn. Who are like new young cool guys.
Okay.
So credit those guys, but they've not got an album out yet, so I can't give them album of the year.
Okay.
So I've got to go with what I've been listening to most this year, really, which is a 2005 album.
That's fine. People will find their own way.
It's Graham Coxon's Love Travels at Illegal Speeds, which actually, and there was a gap in the collection I filled, and it's that's the album I've probably enjoyed most this year.
That's the one Coxon album I've got.
Is it? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's good.
Mm. It's a great album lover's album, and it's got singles on it as well, which is even, you know, fair play to the guy.
I think my album of the year is going to be the Manic Street Preachers with Futurology.
Okay.
Last year they recorded both of these albums at the same time in Berlin, I believe, but they brought out Rewind the Film last year, which was fucking maudlin dog shit.
Right.
Yeah, there was a song that had Richard Hawley on vocals, and it's like, yeah, very good. And it's just maudlin.
Is this another attack on Sheffield? Your adopted home?
Not at all. But this year, Futurology came out, and I remember thinking, I want to like this. But also at the same time, the new Linkin Park album came out.
Yeah.
And that overtook it.
Right.
It's only in recent months, in recent days, literally recent days, that Futurology has hit home to me. And the Manics with Futurology is fucking astonishing. There's a track on it called Divine Youth featuring a Welsh harpist who's also an astonishing vocalist. I can't remember her name because I don't have it in front of me and I'm really, really, really drunk. But Futurology is an astonishing album.
Right, cool.
And it's the best I've got for album of the year. Yeah, and I don't have much to say about it because I'm utterly arsehole.
I did another backtrack to I bought that Fourth Verve album this year.
Oh yes,
it's called Fourth.
Love Is Noise. It's fucking astonishing.
Was that the single track?
Yeah,
it's good. That's a good single. Yeah, I like it.
It's a good single. It's a good album.
It's an unusual album. It's taken me, first time I put it on, it was one of them where I thought it was shit when I first heard it, and now thinking it's not actually that bad.
This is interesting, man, because we have not discussed this off air. I listened to that album a lot on my iPod.
Okay.
That track,
Love Is Noise.
It's amazing.
Love Is Nice, da da da. Yeah, it's good. I mean,
do those feet in modern times walk on soles that are made in China? It's fucking astonishing. And it's weird because the Verve get lumped in with post Oasis, but the Verve have got class musically. Yeah, they've got musical class, whereas Oasis don't. The Verve made music for people, and that sounds weird and snooty, but it's not. I don't mean it like that.
You're allowed to say that as a Northwest man.
Exactly, they're both from my neck of the woods. The Verve were a classier band. The first album from 1993, I think.
Storm in Heaven. Yeah,
I'd buy it. Weird Psychedelia.
That's a great album, actually.
It's
really
awesome. And then
I tried to buy it for my. Sorry, you carry on.
No, it's fine.
I tried to buy it after hearing the last album, which is actually a few years old now. But I bought it because my kid like falls asleep to this Richard Hawley album, what's it called, True Love's Gutter.
Okay.
Very relaxing. It's quite a melancholy album, but very relaxing listen. There's only one track that really kicks in a big way, which often wakes her up, actually. But we've been like repeat. I had that on repeat for about a year, and I was thinking, oh, I'm fucking sick of this album now, even though I really like it. So I tried to get a Storm in Heaven, knowing it's a very trippy, you know, relaxing album.
Totally, yeah.
And it went missing in the post. Ended up having to reorder, you know, they gave me some credits for it. I ended up getting some Ella Fitzgerald instead, which isn't suitable for making a baby sleep. But I like a bit of Ella. Ella's alright by me.
Are you lacking A Star in Heaven? Because I can hook you up tonight, man.
I'm gonna get it again. I'm gonna get the hard copy.
I don't want to
screw the creatives, you know.
It's a weird one because I don't want to say that it's a fucking ace album because I don't think it is.
It's just a good trip.
It's psychedelic business.
Yeah. Any spiritualized fans listening, if you've not heard Storm in Heaven, fucking get involved.
Yeah.
Because you can hear the roots of spiritualized Nick McCabe's guitars. Out there, he's in a new band called Black Submarine.
Yeah,
that I want to go and see.
I'd like to see him. I think they played at the Deaf Institute in Manchester, but we missed it.
Yeah, apparently something went wrong and they cancelled the tour, which makes me think maybe.
I think McCabe is a bit insane.
I think McCabe, yeah, there's
McCabe is the
issues
is
that is held it, the verve back, as far as I know. But he's the guy with the glimpse of genius for me.
Yeah.
But I guess that comes with the dark side as well.
Yeah.
But you got to take half to him. In fact, I will. I'm literally going to take my hat off right
nice
now
one,
and reveal a well shorn head.
You shiny-headed genius. But yeah, the verse album fourth is fucking.
It's interesting. Well, I'm not going to say it's brilliant, but it's interesting.
Not, it's not Urban Hymns, and it's not. Mm. A Northern Soul, but it's got its moments.
Yeah, yeah.
And the moments that hit are worth it. They're relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're quite right there. You threw me a fucking curveball there, man. I didn't expect you to dish out that.
I like to keep you on your toes. You know, this is music. It's how we roll.
This is music.
Pod Plans 2015. Any thoughts? Any ideas?
Well, personally, I'm looking forward to. We're Transformers this year, so next year we've got Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah. Mad Max, right? I've got a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Which I think's fucking genuine.
No, it's not because it's dog shit. But tell the people.
Watch those trailers. A new trailer as well.
The new trailer as well, specifically the new trailer.
Okay, I'll agree this. Tom Hardy is Mad Max, right?
Okay,
I'm agreeing that.
Yeah, go see
it. I don't think he's the focus of the film. Because Charlize Theron.
She's
the focus of the trailers, totally.
Mad Max has never been the focus of his films, anyway.
Yes, he has.
No, he's not.
Well, who was then?
Well, the first one was... the first one, he was a man dealing with his stuff. Second one, a dude dealing with twats.
Well, who was the main character then, if it wasn't Mel... I nearly said Liam Neeson then, what the fuck?
It was more about an adventure with people. You didn't really care about Max himself as a person.
I cared. What's your problem?
I didn't... I think...
It looks like... Basically, in the trailers, right?
Yeah.
She's kicking ass all over the place. She looks like kind of Tank Girl crossed with Ripley. And then Tom Hardy shows up, his car gets wrecked, and then he's getting his ass tattooed by
and then
some...
And he gets held on the front of a fucking dirty motor.
With that one of those visors on his face against his will. And that's all he really does. And then there's a bit in the trailer where he goes, "What's your name?" and doesn't really say anything. And I know he is Max, but I can't help thinking it's her film. They're going to give it to her because they want to be clever, I think. Maybe too clever, but...
No, I think you're incorrect, man.
Yeah, well next year all will be revealed, I guess.
I guess it will.
Also, she's called, right? Her name in the film is Imperator... Wow, fuck, it's...
Furiosa,
okay, yeah. Right. Imperator means emperor. Furiosa means furious, means angry. Okay, so she's an angry emperor. Who's probably the most famous emperor? You could argue Julius Caesar.
Yeah.
You could also say Maximilian. So she's the furious Maximilian.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you reckon to that shit?
I don't like it. I think it's
Where they get an Imperator Furious? What's a strange name, isn't it? I was going to mention a field trip. It's We've talked a few times about our field trip, our ghostly special.
Coming soon. Coming soon. Down you, beastie feasty pipes.
Yeah. So that's on the card soon. I keep seeing Lee, who runs the pub where we want to do it, and reassuring him it's still going to happen because we really want to do it.
We're going to go to a pub that's haunted.
And
haunted by the ghost of a man who was robbed of a beer.
Yeah, that's one theory. There could be others, you know. There's all kinds of theories, but yeah, we like the idea of a beer-starved old chap. And also, we also talked about a Valentine's special.
Valentine's special coming soon in the new year.
Where the Charles is Down theme.
Trousers are down.
Good films to watch with your trousers down.
Exactly.
Your skirt up.
Your skirt up, yeah. So we've got to do a bit of research into how that is a thing.
Yeah.
Because I can't speak to a film that lends itself to skirt upness, but I can certainly speak to trousers downness.
Yeah, we've got to put the feelers out there to the ladies, and also we want to keep it. We want to get a broad range of society, don't we?
We want to know what makes people tick.
We're two boring straight guys, so we're going to get
multisexual vibe, pansexual.
Exactly,
that's what we're going for.
Get all the angles and on the trousers down special.
Trousers down, shirts up, skirts up, that too, whatever.
So, right, I think maybe we should sign off.
Home Alone's brilliant, so you should watch that this festive season. As is Gremlins and Die Hard. Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas.
God bless us.